Welcome to the Round 15 Supercoach Coach Podcast. My name's Marcus, and this week I'm joined by Dunny.
G'day, everyone. Good to be back.
And we've got a new guest on the show. His Twitter handle is at 23moosey23. If you're looking to have a chat with him on Twitter after the show, welcome to the show for the first time. Moosey, you've been a long-time veteran of our community.
I have, Marcus. Yeah, no, thanks for having me on the show. I really appreciate the opportunity. So let's get stuck into it.
I would have actually liked to see the fireworks between yourself and Donk if you were on together, but he's off on break, so I'm glad we have you in his stead.
Yeah, mate, I'm hoping I actually add something tonight to the podcast so I can come on again when Donk's on. It should be quite a feat, should be good.
Yeah, I think people will find it hard to believe. I think I was having a chat with Dunny about this before you got on, Moosey, that I think even though Donk and I have a pretty good rivalry going on, I think yours even trumps mine.
It's certainly simmering in the background, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, always ask plenty of questions for the podcast and very much appreciated, and looking forward to chatting footy with you tonight, mate. So
absolutely.
As the new guest on the show, why don't you kick us off with how you scored on the weekend?
Yeah, had a much better week this week. I scored 1909, which moved me up 500 spots to 2834. That's all pretty good, but I've actually had a really poor run on the buys. I actually entered the buys at rank 930, and I've dropped down obviously to 2834. Had a shocker last week with a few injuries, copped a lot of injuries and a few out. So yeah, so just keen to move back up and get back to that top 1K.
Yeah, so you started the buys ahead of Donk, and then you slid behind him. So I know you'll be keen to claw that back. Oh, right,
absolutely,
back.
Absolutely, absolutely. I was looking at his team quite firmly over the weekend, and we'll talk about it later, but he did have a couple of issues. So.
And Dunny, we haven't heard from you throughout the buy, so why don't you give us a quick recap of how you've gone over the last few rounds and where your team is sitting?
Yeah, well, firstly, you didn't tell me that Moosey was doing super well. I don't think I could come on with him with a ranking like that. I feel a bit left out down here in the depths of the rankings, but look, over the buys, given my lowly starting position at the start of the buys, I did pretty well. I've moved up a few thousand positions. But I'm still sitting outside the top 10,000 just, which is a little bit annoying. As you guys know, I had a bit of bad luck earlier in the season with a couple of selections, but that happens. This week I finished with a 1746. Over the buys, I sort of sat around the 1700 mark. So not terrible, but certainly not brilliant. But yeah, team's trundling along quite nicely at the moment. I was hoping my good form when I was coming on the podcast would continue this week, but I'll hoping for that next time now.
Yeah, I think we've got you on the next couple, Dunny.
Oh, beauty. Means I could fly up the rankings.
Well, you did go up about 4,000, 5,000 spots across this buy period. Yeah. So, like you said, a lower start, but at least you're moving the right way. So
that's right. Better than going the other direction, I guess.
Yeah. Luckily, Mark's like, yeah, you know, the classic takedown. I like to lift people up, Dunny. So.
Thanks, mate. That's good.
For myself, I scored 1891 for this last week, which is pretty good for me. Moved up 1,000 spots to 5,581. And I think my starting buy ranking was about the 6K mark. So basically treaded water, which I'm happy with. I've experienced some unfortunate injury scenarios and players getting dropped. So I'll take what I can get and just be happy I didn't move backward throughout the buy series. I'm still one primo off a full premium team. That'll be Holman to my last forward line premium this week. My trades for the last week were Higgins, Henry, and Duda out for Oliver, Ahern, and Hurley. Went with Oliver ahead of Treloar and Kelly. And unfortunately, Kelly smashed it. And I know the Donk will probably be listening somewhere, and I bet he's hammering his fist on the table because he was so sold on Kelly before speaking to Faz and I. And he ended up getting scared off by the groin injury after we talked. And he went with Treloar, so he's got that pain to deal with this week, and I'm sure he'll be tuning in to listen to Moosey and to hear our thoughts on how to deal with Treloar. So just before we get into the topics for the week, a quick league and group update, which we've not done throughout the bye rounds. Unfortunately, we've slipped a bit in the league stakes. We had 1, 2, 3, and 4 spots before the byes, but as a whole, our community dropped down a little bit. So I think our top-ranked league is now sitting 5th. So I think we've got 5th to 8th, something like that. And we've got 7 of the top 20 still. So not the end of the world, but we were definitely hoping to keep some spots up there in the top 3. But we've got another 10 rounds or so to get ourselves back up there. In terms of a group updates, Mark's Tankosaurus is still leading our group, which is awesome to see. He's sitting 3rd after the buys, being only, you know, less than a couple hundred points, I think, off first. So right in it to win it, and going to keep our fingers firmly crossed for Mark. And if you're listening out there, Mark, do give us a shout out on Twitter or Facebook. Wouldn't mind having a little chat to you as well. I think also cool to note that in our Supercoach Coach group, we have 8 of the top 100 players currently. So that's also a massive accomplishment. A lot of people who are flying high and still hoping to potentially try and topple Mark and the guy sitting up in first. So exciting times for certain members of our community. For the rest of us, we'll just try and do our best and move up the ladder stakes. Let's get straight into it now with the first question from Emily Chalice on Facebook. Trade or keep Harris Andrews? So he's actually in a tiny, tiny proportion of teams. I think Dunny looked it up just before we got rolling. He's in 1.08% of teams. So won't spend too much time talking about him, but he was one of the potential trade-in candidates that we discussed only last week. And so sad for anyone who just traded him in. He'll be missing the next two with a slight brain bleed following the incident with Cameron. So really wish him the best. But from a Supercoach point of view, do you hold on to a bloke who is concussed and might sort of be on the sidelines for a little bit longer? Sometimes these things can linger. Any thoughts on that?
If it's going to be 2, it could even potentially stretch out to 3. If you've got enough trades left, I'd be looking to move him on, I think. He had some good form just before he's gotten injured here, with 4 of the previous 5 being over 100. So, you know, he's put on a bit of value recently, but, you know, if he's going to be 3 weeks, which I reckon it probably will be, they'll be super cautious with him, I would suspect. I'd probably look to trade him out. What do you think on that one, Moosey?
Yeah, I'd agree with you on that. Yeah, I'd agree with you on that as well. It's I think it's at least 2, possibly 3. And then you've got the history of players that return from concussion. They don't generally return that well. And I think of Steph and Lloyd as a couple of examples. So, yeah, I'd definitely be trading that one for sure.
All right, next question here is from Elliot St. John, one of our patrons. What to do with Adam Treloar? So this is the meaty question for the week. He may only miss one. At one stage, the talk right after the game was it was just cramps. But the latest news that just came on only minutes before recording this podcast is there's a chance now that his whole season's in doubt and there might be some injuries to even the tendon. It sounds quite severe. So really bit of a mystery here, and it's tough for us to navigate on a Monday night, especially because by the time this goes out and some of you listen to it, there'll be a bit more clarity on it. So have to talk through some of the potential scenarios. But Moosey, you any thoughts on Treloar? I'm guessing if he misses just the one, you keep him. We talked in the pre-show that unfortunately you just freshly traded in Treloar.
Yeah, I'm holding hands with Mark on that one.
Yeah.
with Treloar. Yeah, just freshly traded him in from McRae, and I'm sure there's a lot in that same boat. Yeah, that news that come in, that there was some whisper on Twitter there that Treloar had spoken to one of his friends and claimed that his left hamstring had torn off the bone and his right was injured. And I'm not sure if that's the case or not. Obviously, that'll be confirmed later. But if that is the case, that is season, and it means trade. If the other scenario eventuates, and it does turn out to be something much more minor, and it's 1 to 2 weeks, then I probably would hold in this scenario with 9 to go. I'd probably say 2 weeks would be my limit before I trade, I reckon.
I guess there's a couple of factors there. The line for me is generally 2 weeks, the same as what Moosey's talking about there. So it's going to come down a bit to what you've got on the bench and what you can swing with some DPP action with your forward line as well. If you can get something good out of that, then, yeah, you can definitely safely hold for 2, but that would be the most I'd be. If they come out and say, look, he's 3 weeks or 4 weeks, I'd probably look at trading.
Next question is just a quick one about Cruiser. So he's a fair unique player, and unfortunately for Mark, he had two players go down with injury in the one game, hence me beating him by 70 points this week. Yes. For owners of Cruiser, you'd be pretty tempted if you didn't have cover. I would suggest to trade up to Grundy. But if you did have cover in a McInerney type, in that scenario, you might actually be tempted to keep in that instance.
If you've got cover, I definitely would hold until it becomes more clear on where he's going to be at, because when Cruz is on the park and he's fit, he's a really good scorer of points. He wasn't the top ruckman for no reason not so long ago. So I would definitely wait and see on what that time limit is. If you're facing a donut for Cruiser, then I probably would look to trade at that point. So we've got 9 rounds to go. Donut, you're trading in Grundy. He's averaging 120-odd at the moment. Yeah, I'd probably look to trade if it's a donut situation on that one.
I think the good news for Cruiser owners is that it's an ankle roll, and so they might keep him out for one round just to let the inflammation subside and so that some of the more short-term and immediate pain dissipates, but you wouldn't think it'd keep him off the field for too long. So I think there's still a chance that he plays this week as well.
Yeah, and I guess just to add in there as well, I think that the amount of trades you've got left really does factor a lot in there. So if you're down to sort of 3 or 4 trades or less, then I think you do need to hold and have a look at that if he's missing the 1 week. But if you're 6 or more, from my point of view, then I'd probably look to trade out.
All right, let's move on to the rookies that are on the bubble now for anyone who is looking at potential downgrade options still at this point in the season. And for those of you who are looking at that, you are very lucky. Congratulations for managing to keep on to your trades for this long. I know I'm certainly not in that fortunate position. Hopefully Ahern was my last downgrade for the season, but we'll go through the options anyway for anyone who still has that luxury. We've got 3 players on the bubble to talk about and 1 player who is a fresh debutant from the weekend. So the first player to talk about, Mason Redmond, defender, 113,200, averaging 81.5 in his first 2 games. Just should note about Redmond, there's a chance that he will not play this week, although, as a long-term option, he still looks pretty attractive. And the reason for that is that he had, similar to Cruiser, a little bit of an ankle injury. So it's not a long-termer, but there's a decent chance he might not get up for this game, especially considering how young he is. His body might not be as resilient to rigors of AFL, let alone sort of playing through a painful sort of ankle injury there. We've got Joel Smith as another option in the back line, but he's also available in the midfield. He costs a little bit more at 152,500. He's averaged 62.5 across his first 2 games, had a big first game, and then on the weekend, for anyone that brought him in, really disappointed during the bye, or the last bye round with, I think, a score of 34, so I was a bit disappointing. And then there's Josh Battle, a forward, 123,900, averaged 70.5 from his first 2 games. Question marks on him about job security, potentially with Bruce types waiting in the wings. And then one last bloke to mention, Jacob Dawson is the bloke fresh off the bye. He's available in the midfield, scored 51 on debut. And I guess the more attractive part of his Supercoach selection is the fact that he is basement priced at 102,400. Moosey, thoughts about these blokes? Are you considering a downgrade at all this week?
No, I'm down to 4 trades now. I've got to deal with Treloar, so definitely no more downgrades for me. But for those that are considering a downgrade, looking at those 3 there, question marks obviously on Redmond there at the moment with the ankle. If he is okay this week, I probably would pick Redmond over Joel Smith and Josh Battle. But in saying that as well, Joel Smith, the 34 he just had on the weekend, was not great. And there's a bit of competition for spots there in the Melbourne team as well. And obviously coming off some losses, they could be changed up a bit. So I'm not so confident on his job security. Josh Battle, the last score he had was a 64, and he kicked 3 goals in that 64. He's not going to kick 3 goals every game, especially for the Saints in that forward role. So I've got concerns over, 1, his scoring ability, and 2, again, his job security. You're just not sure what's going to go on with the Saints. Moving on to all of those 3, believe it or not, I probably like Jacob Dawson the most. Base and Price is great. A little bit on him. He's an academy guy. He started at 13 in the academy, 79 kilos, 182 centimetres. In the AFL, he was averaging 26 disposals and 6 tackles. Now, I know the stats aren't awesome in the AFL as well. They do tend to score a bit more in that competition, but not too bad a pedigree from that perspective. So, yeah, I guess if I'm going to pick out of all of those four, I'd probably go, if Redmond's ankle is okay, I'd probably go Redmond, Dawson, Joel Smith and Battle. Yeah, probably tied for third.
Dunny, how about yourself, mate? Do you echo that those sentiments? Are you looking at a trade down this week at all?
I'm not looking at a trade down, but I'm down to 5 trades left. So I'm sort of trying to ride them for a couple of weeks if I can. Absolutely agree that Redmond is the number one target if he comes up and his ankle is declared fit to play. Being at the game Friday night, I must admit, Smith, yeah, he was a bit disappointing in what he produced for us. And I agree with what Moosey was saying there about his, you know, I am a little concerned about his job security, particularly given they pushed out Spargo and he stayed in. You know, whether the Goodwin's going to play around with those guys a little bit, who knows? I'd probably go Redmond first, and then it'd be a bit of a coin flip for Battle and Smith for me.
I think I'm probably least likely to go with Smith if I was looking for a downgrade. I think at this point of the season, you are looking more toward trying to get in as much cash from a downgrade to last you across as many injury side swaps or opportunistic upgrades for the rest of the season. So I try and cash in as best I can. The only caveat to that, I suppose, is if you are working with another defensive mid premium that you could sort of pivot Joel Smith with. Anyone who has Crisp or Brayshaw might be more likely to trade Smith in. And again, echo the sentiment about job security. I personally, even though I agree that Redmond probably looks the best, I'm hoping that he pans out terribly, because that means hopefully Jordan Ridley comes back into the team, because I've got Ridley. And Josh Battle has some question marks against him as well. So unfortunately, at this point in the season, there's no sort of rolled gold rookie options. You're kind of dealing with the best of what we do have on offer. Round 15 debutants, obviously, have not broken into the team for two-thirds of the season so far. So there tends to be question marks around job security, and that's just something that you have to deal with. You're more looking for these players, as I mentioned before, freeing up cash more than anything else. All right. Moving on to potential trade out targets now. And this first question is from Chris Walker Jones from Facebook. Is Duday solid enough to keep as a D6 if you are down to 6 trades? Chris has a full premium team except for Duday, and there are quite a few people in that camp as well. And with the 6 trade sort of mark being a little bit more precarious, I know we got quite a few questions asking, you know, whether or not they persist with him or do an upgrade to try and cash in on additional points on the run home. So with 9 rounds to go, in order to hit, you know, that magical 200-point mark, which is less realistic as the season goes on, you kind of need a 20-point improvement in Duday. So I can see why people are a little bit more on the fence there. If you can only get, you know, 10 points a game on the run home from Duday, that's only potentially a 90-point upgrade. And if you're in a scenario where you have to do a downgrade and an upgrade to achieve that, all of a sudden, you know, those two trades aren't being used to net a whole bunch of points, and you might consider using it for an injury instead. Having said that, I'm looking at upgrading my last forward line spot, so I'm definitely tempted by that prospect. Moosey, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I do. I've traded him out, but he's obviously done quite well. He's averaging 82. So I guess to put that in context, if you've got 4 or less trades, I'd probably be looking to almost hold him at that point, because with 9 rounds to go, it's getting pretty tight. It's sort of it's almost a coin flip whether you trade or not. But if you look at the actual defenders in the game, there's 6 defenders averaging 104 or more, and that's Laird, T-Mac, Sicily, Yo, Simo, and Lloyd. So they're all averaging 104 or more, which is 20 points a game more than Duday. So even if you don't include the value options of Hurley averaging 95, Webster 95 if he comes back, Howe 96, it's likely to net you about a 20-point gain, which over 9 rounds is 180 points. So in that spot, I'd probably trade, especially if you don't have a Yo or Simpson type, which has got a far bigger upside.
Yeah, I like that advice, mate. And I think that's what I'd be recommending in Chris's spot as well. And I think the boundary's pretty close, although Six trades for me is a convincing trade. Five, I'd still be a little bit on the fringe on as well. Next question is from Graham Price from Facebook. He's asking if you can trade Rocky to Pendles with just the one trade. Should he pursue that or potentially do a couple trades to achieve a bloke like Kelly? Or should he instead just hold and wait for injuries and late outs to take place? Dunny, as the resident Port Adelaide expert, can you talk us through the roller coaster that is owning Tom Rockliffe?
Oh, look, it's a great train to be on, let's be honest, but everyone wants to be on the Rocky train. And I did see, not sure if you follow Warnie from the traders on Twitter, he did tweet out a shot of the back of my head, which he didn't know was me at the time, with the Rocky beanie on at the game. But
brilliant. I saw that one. That was you.
Yeah, that was actually awesome. Me, yeah. it was a really tight game on Friday night, so it probably wasn't as conducive to what we were looking for from him. But yeah, he's gone 41, 100, 127, and then 61 in his last four games. Not quite the sort of scoring that we're looking for from him. But yeah, you know, if you go to Pendles, I think before this week, he'd had something like six games in a row or five games in a row under 100. So you've got to look at what does that mean as well. Pendles has gone 94, 98, 89, 82 before this 136 this week. Having said that, Graham didn't tell us how many trades he's got left. So if he's got something like seven trades left, I'd probably do the two trades and get to Kelly. That would where I'd be looking. If he goes down to five with, say, 8 weeks to go and then go with the injuries and laid outs, I think that'd be my recommendation. But if he's only got four like Moosey has there, I'd probably hold on to Rocky and just save those trades if I could. What do you guys think on that one?
I actually am pretty in the camp of holding Rocky at the price point he's at. If he's already appreciated to value to about 500K, then maybe you might consider swapping him to somebody who's closer to a true premium. I think the other element to keep in mind is that, and you'd love this, Dunny, that you have a great run home. It's probably top three in the league on the run home. You've got, what is it, six games left at Adelaide Oval?
Something like that, yeah. I think, yeah. We've got a great run. I mean, one of those is admittedly, it's an away game, but it's at Adelaide Oval, which really helps. So,
yeah. And your opponents, especially over the next few weeks, you'd be pretty excited about. So, you've got Carlton, St Kilda, and Frio as the next three. So, definitely Carlton and St Kilda. You'd think, let's give Rocky a run here, and Port should win most of the pie and most of the scoring. And then you've got GWS. At this stage, we still haven't hit a team that's in the top eight. Then you've got Western Bulldogs, again, not in the eight. Adelaide, again, not in the eight. It's not until round 21 where you face your next top eight opposition in West Coast. Then you've got Collingwood round 22 and Essendon to finish. So do think, especially for the next few rounds, I'd be looking to hold on to Rocky and then reassess after that if a more opportunistic trade comes up. The other thing about Rocky is that if you traded him in, you likely got a little bit of value from him. And in that instance, a lot of people with Rocky might actually be in a scenario where they have a premium on bench or somebody close to a premium like a Petrarca and Fritsch. So you can hopefully do some loopholing to potentially take his weak scores off field as well. So I'm actually in the hold camp. If you have a ton of trades, then you might consider, you know, upgrading to a true premium like Kelly. But yeah, I don't mind holding.
Just on the Rocky and Pendles there, for mine, I think there was two main scenarios there. People were either trading Rocky in to help them over the buys to become an M9, or they'll take him as a value option for an M8. In this scenario where they're looking to trade Rocky to Pendles, I'm assuming that it's at the M8 stage. Pendles is averaging 101, even with the weekend that's just gone. If I was trading Rocky to Pendles, I would not do that at all, because I'd only trade him to an uber premium, because Pendles, I think, could likely go just for the same as Rocky, or less or more. It'd be a coin flip either way. So I think you're sort of rolling the dice in that regard. So I would hold Rocky also, unless you can get into an uber based on trades.
And I've just got to say, oh, I'm so pissed off with Pendlebury. I just traded him out. Oh, my God. I wrote out 63, 94, 98, 89, 82, and him missing a game in that time. And then he comes back after the buys and just punches me in the face with a 136, his highest score for the season after I trade him out. So very annoying. But overall, I'm not that confident about his long-term prospects, and that's why I traded him out. So I agree with that.
If Treloar's out for the season, I wonder what the effect on Pendles would be. Would that help someone more like Degoe or Phillips, or will Pendles get some more time? That's definitely something to consider.
You definitely think it'd affect Pendles in a positive way. Basically, is playing out of position every single week. He's done the selfless captain thing, which I just hate as a Supercoach owner. You know, he did defensive tagging jobs. He goes into the back line. Mate, you're the captain. Get into the middle, win the game, and score me some Supercoach points.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to be happening, though. He's letting the Treloars, he's letting the future take the run in there, and that's probably the right thing to do as a captain, but selfishly as a Supercoach owner, not great to watch. All right, next question is from at Emily Chalice on Twitter. What are you doing regarding Hogan? Try to replace him or move to F7 to get him into a loophole position? So Hogan was actually tracking pretty well. I think 2 120s pluses in a row, but the game before the bye, he scored in the 60s. And again, this week, a score with 47, really dragging down his average. Key position forwards tend to yo-yo a little bit. It's within the realms of expectation, albeit frustrating. I'm personally happy to keep Hogan on because I think his big games will be pretty big, and Melbourne have been fair downhill skiers so far this season. But if you had enough trades in order to mitigate some of his poor scores, you could look for an opportunistic upgrade in the forward line to bring on a strong F7 to be able to loophole with Hogan as a way to mitigate his low scores and try to keep them off field. Either of you have any thoughts about Hogan at all?
I don't have Hogan, but I did look at him quite a few weeks, but maybe 6 or 7 weeks back when he went on that run. But just in my research looking at him, he's just hasn't been very consistent in the past, and that inconsistency is happening again now. On the back of that inconsistency, I think putting him to an F7 if you can would be ideal, but then just taking into account as well, if you don't have that luxury from a trade perspective, he's got St Kilda, Freo, Bulldogs for the next three. I could see some good scores coming up in the next 2 to 3 weeks as well, so something to take into consideration.
All right, next question is about another underperforming forward for the Demons. We got this question from Jeff Lane, one of our patrons. He's happy with the team, but Petrarca is still on this team and still struggling. He's only got 5 trades left. He's wondering whether or not to bite the bullet and get him out or wait for a little bit and then make a decision if no injuries come forth. I think out of the three of us, only you are still dealing with the pain of Petrarca, Moosey.
Yeah, I am, and it's been quite painful to watch, but just dealing with other issues. So for Tracks, I'll break it down similar to the defense when we're looking at the rookie for Dodo. When you're looking at Petrarca, he's averaging 75. There's 7 active forwards at the moment averaging over 100. So you're looking at 20 to 25 points if you upgrade him to one of those 7 active forwards, if that's where you want to stick, want to go to. So over 9 rounds, 180 points to 225 point gain. So on that trade, for 5 trades, it's getting tight. But if you've got no other issues, you're fully upgraded, 5 trades, you can do it in one, I would make that trade for sure.
On the podcast last week, Mark talked about Petrarca and sort of mentioned that he's actually playing pretty well, but it's just not converting into Supercoach points. Now, that's been the knock on him in the last 2 seasons as a prospect. And this season, the fact that it's continuing means that I'm ready to just put a line through that. It's hard to score in the midfield forward spot. He is getting time in the midfield, but that's not converting into points. If you have the opportunity to move him out, I would. If you have a good F7 to loophole with, then you might consider keeping him. So if you still had a Fritch, but otherwise with 5 trades, I think I'm in agreement. You can move him on and be pretty happy about that. Let's move to talking about some trade in targets now. This first question is from Matt on Facebook. Is Hurley still a lock for the top 6 defenders? I just traded him in last week and I paid a fairly close attention to how his score was tracking throughout the game. And he really pulled the rabbit out of the hat in the last quarter. He was trending toward quite a poor score in the 60s and somehow just managed an 85. Even that is still not ideal. His average is continuing to slip. He's now averaging 95 for the season. Do you see him getting back up to a top 6 defender, Moosey?
Yeah, it's a really tough one because I'm the same. I traded him in that last week, the week before, so I went a week earlier just through circumstance at the time. And yeah, just the way the Bombers are playing, they just don't seem to be chipping it around in the back line as much. You talked about this a bit last week. I mean, you look at the top defenders all being fit, be it Laird, Sicily, Yo, Simo, Lloyd. There's a fifth spot. You could add T-Mac into that. And then sort of Hurley sits with Hurley, Webster, Howe, those types of players around that 95 average. So I'd probably have him out of the top six at the moment. I think he's more like a sixth to a ninth player at the moment. I just don't 100 to 110 average like we've seen in the past.
Yeah, I think my position on him probably hasn't changed from last week to this, and that's even though he might not be a top six defender anymore, that is reflected in his price tag. Currently sitting at 450k. So for a D9, that really isn't too bad a buy. You know, Essendon are still potentially, you know, outside chances for the top eight. So they should still be trying their darndest to win games, and there shouldn't be any odd resting or anything like that going on. All it takes is a slight tweak to the game style to bring those points back flowing into Hurley. So I still don't mind the selection, although I wouldn't consider him a lock for the top six anymore. All right, the next question here is from at Martin Walsh on Twitter. Steph Martin to Grundy, is that worth it with seven trades left and the rest of his squad being fully upgraded to premium? Dunny, you are happily fresh off the Grundy bandwagon. I think you just brought him in last week.
I let the Sam Jacobs bandwagon crash horribly into the trees.
Oh, that's horrid.
Jumped clear of that and rolled into the Grundy train. Really happy with that decision because I could not handle watching Sam Jacobs stink it up any longer.
Yeah.
Look, if you've got seven trades left and your squad is full to go and you can get to Grundy quite comfortably, then I would do it. Yeah, I think we've long said on this podcast that Grundy and Gawn are the two ruckmen that are by far and above better than everyone else. Like I said, with seven trades left, absolutely, I would be looking to do that if I could.
Moosey, you don't have Grundy, so I know you'd be actively considering this, although Treloar is an unfortunate spanner in that consideration. Who's your ruckman? Do you have Martin as well?
No. I've got Gawn and Nick Nat at the moment, so they're my rucks. So I've got the frustration of Nick Nat doing 58% to 63% game time week in, week out, which is quite frustrating to watch.
It's just weird that hasn't increased.
Yeah, it is really weird. Like, I think he went to 65%. Obviously, I'm watching this closely last week. and you get on the little app there, you can
thrilling
actually,
stuff.
I know you can watch the players on the bench, and you're just watching the time tick over. But because his points per minute are huge, but anyway, we're talking about Grundy at the moment. I hate to watch him, not having him in my team. If I could have him in, I would get him in straight away. Absolutely, he's an absolute gun. But the thing we're missing here, Marcus, is why aren't we talking about Goldie? Goldie should be in.
Tongue in cheek
for that one.
Yeah, but. I just can't imagine the face Mark's making right now as he's cringing in pain, especially because his trade-in just got injured in Cruiser.
Goldie's like averaging 115, 120 the last three. But that aside, on a serious note, with Grundy, it seems like an absolute lot. But the thing I will put in everybody's minds here, which is definitely worth consideration, is Grundy's last 4 weeks is Sydney, Brisbane, Port Adelaide, Fremantle. So we're looking at Sinclair in form, Steph Martin, Ryder and Sandy. And when you actually look at it from a Supercoach pie perspective for Collingwood, they're the 16th worst run in the last 4 weeks of the available Supercoach pie for their team. That's just something just to put in your mind to consider. I've got a bit of a breakdown on strength of schedule for Supercoach pie points that are available, and they've got this, they're almost the worst team for the last 4 weeks. So Grundy's a gun. I'm not saying not to trade him in, but it's a very tough run for that last month for finals, especially coaches that are playing league matches.
From my perspective, it's a hell of a lot better than Sam Jacobs.
In Martin's situation, I think anyone with 7+, the fact that Martin's currently averaging was at 103 and Grundy 124, even if Grundy drops a little bit, probably can still squeeze close to, you know, 15 points per game for the remainder of the season. And with trades being worth slightly less at this stage, that might be enough to warrant doing that. Last question for the week. This one's from at Pacho. His side is basically complete, but he is dealing with some underperforming premiums. So the two that he's listed here are Savage versus Martin. We've got quite a few questions about this. Basically, do we upgrade to Grundy or get rid of one of the next worst performing players, whether that be a Petrarca or a Savage? blokes that are probably just lagging behind True Premium. Pacho has 6 trades left, so and 160K in bank, so probably could afford a side swap quite comfortably. Moosey, any thoughts on that?
In that scenario, with those trades, 6 trades, I probably would go to Grundy.
The other one I'd be looking at there is, I think if he's not going to do the Martin to Grundy, then I'd be certainly looking to trade out Savage. I'm a Savage owner, and he can be a little bit inconsistent as well. With 6 trades left, 160K, when you're in the top 200, just go for it.
I think I'd be looking at the difference between, you know, your trade in and trade out. So if you didn't have Laird, but you had Savage instead, then you know, Savage to Laird might make more sense than a Martin to Grundy. But I'd say it'd be a rarer spot that you'd find an opportunistic upgrade elsewhere on the field that will deliver you more points than Martin to Grundy, with Grundy being, you know, in the top 4 averaging players for the season so far.
Yeah, agreed.
I think, in that back line, as you say, if you didn't have a Laird or didn't have a Yo, they'd probably be the two that I'd be, you know, most keen to move from Savage to.
All right. Just before we finish up, we had a question from James Fairweather on Facebook. He's got 12 trades and he's full premium, and he's dealing.
He's just bragging.
He's got a Savage type, and he asked whether he can afford to trade out a Savage or, you know, just sit on his hands. And I suppose in that scenario, based on what we've said, go nuts, James. I can't believe you're in that position.
Absolutely.
Yeah, trade your heart out, James. Absolutely, mate. Lambert, Savage, gone. Get the good ones in for sure.
Absolutely. No,
Dunny's wishing he can steal some of those and get rid of Savage on his own.
Oh, mate, if I had 7 more trades there, I'd be laughing, yeah.
As we do each week, we'll finish up the show with a captain's corner. A few less loophole options now that we're out of the buys. I am looking at Ed Phillips being a potential loophole option, and Jordan Ridley as well, and Jared Brander. So my team's full of holes, which helps with loopholing. Certainly opens up the options a little bit. Who are you gents looking at? Dunny, have you thought about your captain at all yet?
I've had a bit of a think about it, and I'm just trying to work out how I can do it. But one that I'd like to do would be to actually leave it all till Sunday and have my VC on Gorn against St Kilda. I then have Kobe Much playing for the Bombers to go into Fife against Brisbane at home.
Nice.
So,
yeah, I like that. I like that. Really good.
Yeah, I think the only tricky part's going to be there, just that overlap of time spans. You know, those guys, I think, should have a really good game. The other one you could look at would actually be Grundy against the Gold Coast on the Saturday night. I think he should have a field day against them. Those three are probably the three guys, if I can work around somehow, getting a loophole on field.
Yeah, for me, I've got Barry and Crossley for my loop players. Good old Barry is going to service me for the rest of the year, hopefully. I'm looking at VC of Danger on Friday night v. the Dogs. Hopefully he can go ballistic, we can finally get a good score. And I'm going to run that into either Gorn or Fife, I'd say. Fife for the Lions should be pretty big, I think.
Yeah, to me, Fife for the Lions is the ultimate captaincy backup. And my thoughts have pretty much mirrored yours for captaincy options. Dunny, I think I'd want to see a full game for Gorn before making a decision on Fife, and for that reason I'll go with Grundy because I don't have any loophole options in Frio or the Lions. So Grundy into Fife for mine. But as a fellow Geelong supporter, Moosey, I know we'll both be barracking hard for Danger to kill it anyway.
Absolutely, mate, absolutely.
All right, gents, thank you so much for joining us for this week's show. Dunny, we've got a couple more weeks of you and looking forward to spending an extended patch with you. Hopefully, like you said, the good luck charm of the podcast keeps working for you in 2018. And Moosey, it was great to have you on. Hopefully you enjoyed your first time on the show, and I know we'll be keen to get you and the fireworks between you and Mark going at some stage.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. No, I appreciate the opportunity to come on, guys. Been a long-time fan for every one of those 10 years, and really enjoyed it tonight. Thanks very much.
Dunny, anything to leave our listeners with heading into round 15?
No, not really, mate. Just if you've got trades like our good friend there at the end had with 12 left, just don't hold back. It's you know, you might as well improve your team now rather than wait to the last second. But more importantly, it's fantastic to have Moosey on tonight. Really great to hear you on the show, mate. And I'm looking forward to hearing a show with you and FB Donkey now as well. So it'd be great.
It's going to be a ripper.
Yeah, I need another Geelong supporter in my account. It's definitely great. And another bloke who's keen to take down FB Donkey is good as well. So
absolutely. Yeah.
All right. And with that, we'll sign off and catch you next week. See ya.
See you guys.
Bye.